So we're presenting a poster about the AXIM project, which is focused on building system support for a class of applications that we call many-task. So the defining characteristics of those are that the application is comprised of many tasks, which are composed in parallel using data flow, typically medium granularity, so 100 milliseconds and up. And there might be a serial of fine-grained parallelism inside the tasks. So there are a bunch of interesting problems that we're tackling there. So one thing we're focusing on is programmer productivity. We want non-experts to be able to write code to exploit this. So we're trying to build a data flow scripting language to do that. Major challenge is we're working on distributed memory clusters. So we want to support like transparent load balancing, data movement, fault tolerance in a global view programming model. We want programmers to be able to use legacy code, so use a scripting model where they have a script which is coordinating components written in a low-level language, so we can wrap components like that. There are a lot of system-level challenges we have to solve to make this work. Got to deal with irregular parallelism, load balancing, tracking data dependencies. So please come by and I'll talk to you about it more.
Hello again. I am no longer Intel. This is work done at Georgia Tech. So, sorry. So the title is Discovering Optimistic Data Structured Oriented Parallelism. The idea is to try to determine what parallelism you have in irregular applications by structuring basically the data space that is touched by the irregular computation. And so we propose a technique of tracing memory, or so what your computation does, but not in an address level, in a semantic level, so that you can extract relationships between different variables and things like that. So try to figure out what your data space looks like instead of kind of a big amorphous field of pointers. So the goal is to basically enable the prediction of the data space so that you could run better optimistic parallelism. So if you know that two data spaces of two different computations are unlikely to intersect, then it's a good candidate to run optimistically. If they're very likely to intersect, you may not want to, because they're likely to roll back and be expensive. So this is just a very high-level diagram that explains the main theory. If you have the data structures here, in the address space, if you have these two nodes, they'll be at different addresses, and you don't really know the relationships between them, despite this, for example. But in a symbolic data space where you have relationships and names, you can say that N is here and that the left points to here. And so you know that this data element is referred to by consistent names wherever they're placed in memory. And so you can extract these patterns and exploit them to make predictions. Thank you.
Hello. The title of my poster is Elastic Scaling for Transactional Memories from Centralized to Distributed Architectures. As we have seen, transactional memories are a good paradigm which simplifies parallel programming because it replaces locks with transactions, so it hides the complexity of concurrently running multiple pieces of code. But the problem with this technology is that performance is affected by the level of parallelism that you enable in your transactional memory, and it can depend on the workload, on the platform, and can vary over time. So the topic of the poster is determining at runtime the perfect scale, the optimal scale for the transaction, the transactional memory, and we overview two different use cases, which are the STEM benchmark on TinySTM, and we will show how we can achieve elastic scaling with an exploration-based technique. And the other use case is a distributed transactional memory, which is InfiniSpan, which we run with the TPCC benchmark, and we show that in this case, the best way to achieve elastic scaling is a technique which is based on prediction.
Good afternoon, everyone. My name is Gagan Gupta. In this poster, we take a look at some of the emerging challenges in rapidly evolving computing systems, spanning from handsets to cloud servers. Some of the challenges that these systems pose are ease of parallel programming, dynamically changing conditions, due to multi-programmed environments, new usage models, increasing fault rates. So another challenge that you have to handle is tolerating these faults or handling suddenly lost resources. So in this work, we are proposing that parallel programs but expressed statically sequentially are a promising approach. And in this particular approach, we take such a program, we unwind it sequentially, we discover concurrent computations, we execute them in parallel using data flow schedule, and then we control the schedule to adapt the execution to the dynamic changes in the system. And we then retire computations in the program order. Now, to learn how, why we think that this approach holds promise and how it achieves results better than prevalent conventional approaches, please come by and visit our poster. We'd be happy to discuss and even debate. Thank you.
Hi, my name's Justin Gotchlik, and I'll be presenting concurrent predicates, which are essentially a way to help you reproduce concurrency bugs. An example of this is this simple atomicity violation with two threads, where under a specific state where y is equal to zero, this program can observe a divide by zero crash. Concurrent predicates is interesting in the sense that it helps you order the schedule of a program and also its associated state, which is a step forward over some of the prior research. Specifically, it's at least what we're presenting at the poster session, concurrent predicates is a programming language construct. And two pieces that make it unique over prior research is that it enforces self-stability, which essentially helps you eliminate false positives. So concurrent predicates, the way that we have it implemented for our demo, it cannot emit any false positives. And then secondly, it also manages non-contributing thread interference. Essentially, this piece is, while we agree that most concurrency bugs can be narrowed down to two or three threads, we find that many real programs actually consist of far more threads than just those two or three. And so you actually have to have a mechanism in place to manage the non-contributing threads to make sure that they don't actually hide the bug. We've applied concurrent predicates to a number of different scenarios. Essentially, we've had, so far, a 100% success rate on all the concurrency bugs that we've applied it to. And stop by the demo if you want to learn more. Thanks.
Hi, Andrew Herdrick, Intel Labs. I'll be presenting a poster on SMTQOS, which is symmetric multi-threading quality of service. And that's the idea of providing higher priority to one or more threads within a CPU processor pipeline that supports SMT. So feel free to drop by and I can discuss some of the sample throughput benefits and our key learnings. Thanks.
So I'm Brandon Holt from the University of Washington, and me and my colleagues have been building for the last several months a system called Grappa, which is for doing fast graph processing on mass market machines and commodity clusters with just a simple commodity interconnect. So our trick is that we're going to use this lightweight cooperative threading model that we've built to tolerate latencies. And then we get to trade that latency for higher random access bandwidth, which we need to process really large graphs, like social network graphs that will have huge explosions of low locality vertex accesses. And so we can wait longer to get those results back if we can aggregate a bunch of messages together to get higher random access bandwidth, fine-grained synchronization throughput, and several other things that we can talk to you about at our poster.
Hi, I'm Shams Imam from Rice University. I'm going to be presenting CNC Python, which is basically introducing multi-threaded programs in Python. Not many people might know, but you don't actually get much parallelism benefit if you write multi-threaded programs in Python, because there is this global interpreter lock, which basically serializes the execution of all threads. So we use the CNC programming model to ensure parallelism by spawning off different processes. And also, this is the framework to allow domain experts to not only write their code in Python, but also in other languages like MATLAB, C, and C++. So feel free to ask me more questions during the poster session.
Thought I'd start with a minimalist slide, you know, in case your eyes were getting tired. So I'm going to take a look at a few questions here. What's the best way to apply parallelism to maze solving? And also, what do you get out of it? How good is it? What general lessons can we learn from maze solving? And perhaps more interesting, what lies beyond embarrassingly parallelism? And does the improved optimization levels threaten scalability results we've seen in the past? And finally, another question, why the heck is the RCU maintainer and Linux kernel talking about solving mazes? We'll get to that too. Thank you.
What kind of mazes?
Amazing ones, of course.
Hi, my name is Pablo Reble. I'm from RWTH Aachen University in Germany. The topic of my poster presentation later is the evaluation of hardware synchronization support of the STC many-core processor. This work is part of the Metal SVM project, which is funded by Intel Labs. The main question is how to efficiently realize shared memory programming on future many-core processors. We have with the Intel single-chip cloud computer an ideal base for our project. It's a 48-core research processor. It has shared memory but no cache coherence. And with the Metal SVM project, we have the approach to integrate a shared virtual memory management system into a bare metal hypervisor. And if you are interested in the SCC or Metal SVM or generally the synchronization support, you can just look for the for Mike the Ostrich, our mascot of the project. Thank you.
Hello, my name is Randolf Rotter from University in Cottbus in Germany, the other end of Germany. And well, we were working on many core processors related to the Intel SCC, like the presenter before. And when we look at many core processors today, well, we have these compute engines or cores that are connected by a network. So internally, they really are a distributed system or can be treated like a distributed system. But on the other hand, the network also connects the cores to the memory. So many core processors also are a shared memory machine. And we were working on prototypes for middleware that allows to exploit or utilize both worlds, like shared memory programming and message passing at the same time. The basic idea is to avoid large messages because they evict large portions of the caches and copy data, which is not really necessary most of the time. And we do that by placing shared data into the shared memory and use the messages just for coordination of tasks. So the messages are really small, and yeah, we can talk about the details at the post.
Hello, my name is Rusty Sears. This work was done at Yahoo Research. It's based on some experience I had working on declarative languages for building distributed systems protocols. At the same time as I was doing that work, I was building highly concurrent single machine and distributed storage systems. What was really frustrating about this experience is that I was writing code in ad hoc C, and it would take me months and months to do it. And even though I knew very well that I could write it in two lines of overlog, if only the interpreter were good enough. The problem is that the runtime wasn't ready, both because it was a research prototype, but more fundamentally because automatically generating code that's comparable to hand-tuned, C systems code is still, it's a computationally hard problem. So rather than try to solve that problem and improve the tools, I decided to just go ahead and implement everything in raw C. And the scheme looks something like this. So you start off by picking an architecture for your application. Typically, I use a model view controller, but without the view because it's a service. The controller often contains basically a bag of asynchronous event handlers, although that's negotiable. Again, it's all C, so you can do what you want. Then the model side consists of basically base tables that can be modified directly, and then derived state, which are essentially materialized views. Now, all this controller and model stuff is specified using relational calculus. You could think data log or SQL if you like its syntax for some reason. Once you've got your spec, you have to hand translate it to C because, again, there are no good tools. It turns out that doing this is very easy but also very tedious. However, it's less tedious than implementing some stuff and then finding out that you have to spend 3 months tracking down a subtle bug. And in practice, what I found after following, going through this sort of an exercise on a few different projects is that kind of the first or second time you end up running your big, you know, hand-generated C program, it just works. So if you want to hear about some open research problems that we've encountered or some more stories, stop by my poster.
Hi, I'm Prakul Srivastava, and I shall present our poster on virtual instruction set computing for heterogeneous systems. As we have heard today, heterogeneous computing is expected to be the future because it solves the power consumption problem. In fact, a limited range of heterogeneous hardware is widely used today in mobile devices like smartphones and tablets. But programming such systems is really difficult because, for instance, this is what a modern smartphone SoC looks like. It has a GPU, several DSPs, general purpose cores, which may or may not have vector support, and other hardware accelerators. Now, as exciting as it may sound to have all these diverse hardware components in a single chip, it brings with it several challenges as well. This chip has 6 different hardware ISAs, 7 different parallelism models, and a variety of memory architectures which are incompatible to each other. Programming this is difficult. Our project aims at solving several major programmability challenges that stem out of this diversity. These challenges being simpler algorithm design, that is one algorithm that should work across parallelism models, source and object code portability, getting high performance without low-level tuning and tweaking, and uniform software toolchain for heterogeneous systems. Our strategy is to abstract away the hardware differences by defining a low-level language-neutral virtual ISA. This virtual instruction set approach has been used in the past for GPUs, but we intend to use it for a much wider range of hardware. The key to this is that we think we can unify all these diverse hardware components into just 2 or 3 parallelism models and few memory abstractions in the virtual ISA. Come see our poster for more details. Thank you.
Good evening. I'm Speziale Ettore from Politecnico di Milano, and my poster will be about a new rethinking on the compilation pipeline. Nowadays, we have that optimizing code requires runtime information, and sometimes runtime libraries are used to optimize to support parallel code code execution, but they are heavy, and so we know that a compiler-based approach is more appealing. And current solution exploit either JIT compilation or code specialization or self-modifying code. Our proposed approach is split into a compile time part, a runtime part. At compile time, we have some micro analyzer that analyze the code and detect which optimization can be maybe applied at runtime, and it generates the code to apply that optimization at runtime. So out of the compilation pipeline, there is a set of micro threads. These micro threads are both computational micro threads or compiling micro threads, and a micro scheduler should execute them concurrently at runtime, respecting dependencies in order to achieve our goal. Thank you.
I'm Steve Tarsa. I'm here from Harvard with Sung-Han Lin, and we both work for HT Kung. And we spent some time working on a project trying to accelerate conjugate gradient algorithm using GPUs. It's a very common, widely applied algorithm in signal processing, scientific computing, machine learning for solving least squares problems and sparse linear systems. And for us, it's of particular interest because it's central in decoding compressively sensed signals, which is something we're working on developing applications for. So in that respect, any gains we can realize in conjugate gradient translate immediately into application level gains. What we found actually is that the GPU architecture itself is not a great fit. Conjugate gradient is a bunch of matrix vector multiplications. It's compute bound. And its input data is very small, so it seems like a great case for the GPU. But the GPU makes this very strong independence assumption that each multiprocessor can't communicate because they're working solely on data parallel projects. And as a result, this one small step in conjugate gradient of computing vector norms from previous results actually sinks the whole operation. And what we found was that given current CUDA support for this step, which requires synchronization and operand exchange, the problem ends up being transformed into an I/O bound problem. And this is because they require that subsequent iterations of the program loop be launched as independent jobs, in the process, caches get flushed, and we end up loading the operands over and over and over every time through the iteration. So what we need is an onboard mechanism for synchronization. So we implemented that using sort of the resources that are there now for inter-processor communication to show that this indeed reduces the I/O problem and sends it back to being compute-bound. But because the performance isn't very good, since it's not designed for this, we end up seeing that our resulting computation is dominated by this really long latency penalty between processors and the global memory store. So we propose that simple neighbor interconnections between these processors, which is a feature of other parallel processors, is sufficient to solve the problem. They're cheap, they scale well as you add additional multiprocessors in future generations, and we show that you can gain almost all of the benefit that we expect and have a compute-bound problem that will end up being further accelerated with future GPUs. So if you'd like to hear more about it and talk to us, come stop by our poster. Excuse me.
Hello, my name is Choro. I'm from Operating System Labs in Korea University. My paper deals with the scheduling problem of parallel applications on NUMA multi-core systems. The NUMA architecture consists of several processors, each of which has its own local memory and memory controller. In this system, any processor can access remote memories through a cross-chip interconnect with high latency. In order to reduce high latency, the scheduling of parallel applications on this system has become an important problem. This paper starts with the simple question. Co-scheduling threads on the same cache domain is still efficient on NUMA systems as the traditional perception. In the evaluation result, we find that certain applications show significant performance improvements when they are co-scheduled. So in this study, we investigate the region of performance improvements when the threads are co-scheduled in the NUMA system. As a result of research, we find that the performance of parallel thread is deeply related to the less level cache miss rate and the memory usage pattern of each thread. So we provide a classification method that analyzes the cache miss rate and the memory usage pattern. And also we provide a simple scheduler that dynamically co-schedules parallel threads using the formal method. Thank you.
Well, my name is Frank Vachbert and I work with Gaston MLS at the UPMC in France. We want to answer to the question, does shared memory, highly multi-thread, single application scale on many core? We do that study on the TSAR. It is a cache coherent shared memory many core, having up to 1,000 core and several hundreds of memory server. And we develop an operating system optimized for many core and thus for TSAR. And we use several HPC applications, and we obtain a speed-up limitation above about 100 cores. And we try to explain that, and we find that it is not because of data placement, it is because of all threads share the same address space, and thus all instruction miss, data misses, and now instruction cache misses and all TLB misses are supported by few memory servers. So it is an intrinsic problem of the notion of threads. And we propose, we have to replicate instruction and replicate page table. So we propose each thread has its own address space. And the kernel have to choose which page is replicated and private and which page is shared to give the illusion of all threads are in the same address space when they shared data. So I can explain more in the session.